healing someone's heart in here, and I don't mean of the physical condition, but of the brokenness, and I'm so glad he's here to do that tonight. Hallelujah. He is a gracious and a good God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to talk to you again about cultivating a greatly grateful heart. This has been one of the longest, if not the longest, series on a subject that we have ever gotten into. As we came into this new year, the Lord began to just take me into the scriptures, all throughout the scriptures, everywhere you look in the scriptures, and to see the importance of this reaction to God's mercy and grace. It is not a demanded or commanded thing, but it is an expected thing from God. There's an offering in the Old Testament called the peace offering. Say it with me, the peace offering. It wasn't to make peace with God. It is actually better interpreted for understanding its work. It was a thank offering. And it was to be offered after the sin offering had been offered. Whether it was the once a year for all of Israel, or whether it was an individual thing when someone brought up a sacrifice and that sacrifice was slain and the blood was assigned where it was supposed to be assigned and God accepted it, then they would come back and they would bring the peace offering or the thank offering. It was the requisite or the right response to the forgiveness and mercy that God had granted. Every time he forgives sin, he has to do it because of his great mercy in his heart. And the requisite, the right response to that kind of mercy is to offer a peace offering or a thank offering. It's saying, he forgave me. David put it this way, what shall I render to God for all that his benefits toward me? What shall I give him? He began to express it by a praise that was based on a greatly grateful heart. Everybody say a greatly grateful heart. Amen. And the rules for particular offerings were set in place, but the rules for the thank offering, as far as the frequency of it, it was open-ended. You could bring it as often as you wanted. You could do it any time you wanted to. You could get up in the morning and remember that God had forgiven you and just want to tell him thanks for it. And you could run up to the temple and they'd say, what are you here for? You know that we're not here for this particular thing, that particular thing. He said, I'm here for none of those particular things. I'm here to say thanks. Remember the song that said, I prayed a thousand prayers or more that I forgot to thank you for. I'm just here to talk with you, Lord. I'm here to give you thanks. That offering carries over into, well, it's clearly what the New Testament was based on. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. What is the requisite response with a greatly grateful heart for God forgiving you? That you, here's the thank offering. Can you say amen? That you offer, everybody say thank offering. That you offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. It is reasonable to do that, amen, because this is the requisite response to God's mercy. And once you see that principle in the Old Testament, you can see it manifesting in the New Testament. Amen. Jesus heals 10 lepers. What is the requisite response? To come back and thank him. Can you say, man, you don't just go off of singing, I got just what I wanted. Well, I got just what I wanted. Remember that song, that camp meeting song? I got just what I wanted from the Lord. Well, if you got what you wanted, he's in his mercy, he granted it to you. What you should do. Did anybody ever tell people as children, Christians, have you ever told your child, you know, what do you say? What do you say? Somebody gives you a gift. You forget to say thanks. You're so excited with the gift. You forget what you're supposed to do to show that appreciation. What do you say? Say thanks. Amen. I had to really teach my son, especially Matthew. He was slow to pick up on things. I remember Margaret. It used to be, it's Margaret Janung. Yeah, it used to be Medeiros. Now it's Janung. But I remember her coming over one day and Matthew came out. You know, he's about 13, 14 years old and he doesn't know all the slogans that we all learned growing up. He's got to be, you know, I'm old school, but I have to teach some new school some things sometime. Amen. So he was standing out there and Margaret noticed that he had got dressed in a hurry and he had forgot to zip up. So she said, Matthew. You know, Margaret's very blunt and straightforward. She said, Matthew, your barn door's open. And we were living in a trailer then. You know what he did? He went to the utility room and shut the door. And I thought, I got to have a long talk with that boy. He just didn't. That wasn't in his time. That's not how you said that. If she'd have said, Matthew, zip up, he would have got it. Well, Thanksgiving is one of those things that we've heard of. What do you say? You say thanks. But to God, you don't just say thanks. You cultivate, amen, a heart that is filled with gratitude to him for all that he has done for us. David said, what shall I render to God for all his benefits toward me? And then Psalm 103 and all the Psalms really, but particularly Psalm 103. Bless the Lord. Here's that thank offering praise being offered. Bless the Lord, oh my soul and all that is within me. And listen, to stimulate that consistent praise, because he's the one that said, amen, I will bless the Lord at how frequently will he do this? Since there's no rules, he said, if I can give it to him every day, and he'll accept it every day, then I want to bring that offering to him every day. Because for what he's done for me, and if you read the story of David and the mercy that picked him up from the place of judgment, listen, David had sin layered upon sin layered upon sin. And in a court of law, he would have been given life imprisonment without parole. Amen. In a justice court in our liberal society, David's sins would have given him a life sentence. Amen. Conspiracy to have a man killed, ordering his death in order to cover up another sin of adultery with his wife, in order to cover up another sin and lying about it. Can you say, man, sin upon sin upon sin? And when David found mercy and grace in the eyes of the Lord, he welled up with praise. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name and forget not all of his benefits. And this is chronological order here in terms of benefits. Listen, the guy that's thanking him for the Mercedes don't have a clue what real joy is. Can you say amen? The guy that says, oh Lord, I thank you for my brand new Bentley, my brand new Mercedes. He don't have a clue. At top of the list to be thankful for is your sin forgiven. Can you say amen? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Psalm 103, verse 1. And forget not all of his benefits. And the first top of the list, who forgiveth all of thine iniquities. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Every day of our Christian life, I've said it before, I'll say it again, and I speak it, I believe prophetically, I believe that when the church experiences true revival, it will not be the joy of some new spiritual phenomenon that triggers that and drives it. I don't believe it'll be some new spiritual phenomenon, whether it be holy laughter or falling out or any other phenomenon. I'm not disqualifying any of these things, but it's very clear to see none of these things has brought revival to America. And not just to the nation, but to the church. I know people that got it all. They had every experience out there to experience. And I know some of them are as cold on God tonight as they ever was, because you couldn't live in the euphoria of an experience. But you can live in gratefulness for the cross. You didn't hear me. You can live filled with gratitude for Calvary every single day of your life. Hallelujah. And you don't have to drive 1,000 miles to get into a meeting to experience the joy of sins forgiven. Amen. All you have to do is start thinking, amen, where you were and where he took you from and where you would have been had he not done that, amen, to cause praise to just well up and bubble up on the inside of you. I believe the Holy Ghost-driven revival is going to be based when the church gets excited again, not about something that God... I've been in this thing so long. I'm getting ready to celebrate 36 years at the Holy Church of God, 37 total in ministry. And all those 37 years, there's always this new wave coming. There's always this new move coming. There's always this cloud burst. It's so full of water. I'm not making fun. I'm just telling you that the real revival is not some new thing, some different thing that God needs to do. It's our acknowledgement of what we have in Jesus Christ right here, right now. God doesn't have to come on and flame up on. Oh, they got into crazy stuff. I've told you for the sake of this tape, I'll tell you again, the story of Goosey Lucy. Remember me telling about Goosey Lucy? Some of you didn't hear about Goosey Lucy. But Goosey Lucy was a lady evangelist. And she would get to a point in the service, and she would have these big, in either corner, she would always rent these places that had like a stage area up here and to have services in. And she would have fans, these big big fans that sit up like this, only much, much bigger on both sides, blowing behind the curtain, but blowing out toward the audience and blowing up like this. And somewhere out in here in the wings, she had some guys. And she would come to a point in the service when everyone was really lifted up and the music was swelling up through the organ and everything was dramatized. And all of a sudden, all these white, she said, angels. And usually it's about the time for the offering, you know. Angels have entered the building, you know, and angels have special blessings for those that give certain amounts. So the widow's mite that gave more than anybody in the eyes of Jesus didn't stand a chance. Amen. You know, she didn't have a... Jesus said she's given more than anybody. The angel ain't going to give her nothing. It's only for the $50 gift or the $100 gift. Amen. But you don't get so crazy out there. But you see all these crazy people out there. Amen. Blind. Listen, it's not just the blind that people are following with their eyes open. But no, it's blind following the blind. Can you say amen? Because anybody with their eyes open won't follow a blind person. Amen. Well, I got my eyes open a long time ago. Amen. So what she would do, she'd come to that point and said, the angels have just entered the room. Sister Lucy, they termed her Goosey Lucy because they said the angels are here, and they'd take some feathers and they would throw it in front of those fans and they would fly out from the wings and they'd trickle down and people saw these big long white feathers just coming down and they said, Lord have mercy, let me get my wallet out. The angel is here. Amen. Come on, the angel. You know, it gets crazy out there in religious world and the Christian land. And angels, you know. And so anyway, somebody took a feather, decided to take it, and took it to the butcher shop. There was a butcher shop. This was years ago, back when people went, you know, across. You didn't go to, Sweet Bay to get your meat. You go to the butcher shop. And they sold turkeys and chickens and beef and poultry. And they also sold geese. It was near Christmas time. And so the butcher knew about plucking geese and all of that. And he took that feather in and said, take a look at this. Amen. And by the way, I didn't know the angels molted. I never read that anywhere in Scripture. I've read about them having wings, but I never read about angels molting. Can you say amen? I never read that. Eternal beings that had to molt to keep their feathers new. That's so, it gets crazy. Took it to the butcher shop. You know what the guy said? Said, this ain't nothing but a goose feather. Amen. So they finally begin to look closer into it, and they saw the fans behind there. And the guys with the goose feathers just throwing them out where the fans would pick them up and shoot them out toward the audience. And people thought, angels are here. Angel feathers are dropping. It don't, you know, there's such a spiritual vacuum for the real thing, for reality in church, that people are running after everything. It is so easy to hoodwink and hornswoggle Christians that don't read their Bibles, always looking for some experience and trying to find revival through an experience instead of experiencing the love of God that flows out from that old rugged cross. I'm going to tell you this tonight. I believe when authentic revival comes to the church of Jesus Christ in America, it will be cross-centered. It'll be based on the same thing that we take for granted Sunday after Sunday. When we quit taking it for granted and we realize what we really have in Jesus Christ and what He's really done, what He's saved us from and what He's saved us to. What shall I render unto God for all of His benefits unto me? Amen. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And all that is within me, offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. That is the requisite response to this kind of grace and mercy. Wouldn't it be great if every Christian just surrendered fully to God and said, for saving me, nothing. And no one is more important in my life than you, Lord. We wouldn't have to have so many programs in the church because people would love the person that we come to worship. One of the things that David prayed was, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Now, that's not salvation as we know it, the born-again experience. This is the Old Testament. It is Psalm 51. After being forgiven for his great sin, he composed Psalm 51. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. It's offering himself unto God a living sacrifice. You have forgiven me so much. What the least I can do is reverence you, lay my life before you. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Listen, he said when they see the king, when they see someone with influence, someone with affluence, someone in leadership, truly repenting and getting right with God and getting filled with joy and gratitude, filled with thanksgiving till all of his psalms gave thanks unto the Lord, sinners will be converted unto you. Amen. Revival doesn't start with God touching the community. Revival starts with God stirring us. Hallelujah. And the community seeing Christians with passionate hearts, bowing before the Lord. Hallelujah. Filled with the joy of Jesus. And the devil wants to suppress that constantly in the church. He doesn't want us getting excited about Calvary because Calvary is a constant. Get excited about anything else you want because none of that's constant. You can't live Velcroed to the floor. You got to get up and go to work. Amen. It'd be nice just to stay down there in the presence of God. Oh, by the way, you got to eat too. Can you say amen? And there's other things you got to do. You can go a while without food, but there's other stuff. Can't live with holy laughter all the time. Amen. You're a paramedic. You arrive on the scene. And somebody's cut all the pieces and you run up there and go, ha! You can't do that. You can't live in that atmosphere of spiritual euphoria. But can the joy of the Lord and the joy of Jesus and the joy of what he did at the cross be constant in your life? Yes, it can. Can praise become constant because there is a constant that is stimulating praise? Can you say, man, a preacher don't bring you the cross. God provides the cross where Jesus died for you. He provides the grace and the mercy. The cross is a constant. It's a constant source of stimulation to bring a thank offering to him. Amen. Every single day of our life. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Why? Because God gave his son for us. And it doesn't change no matter what tomorrow holds. The cross is a constant. I mean, no, everything else is. I've seen trends come. Sometimes we just go through these trends. One time the height of experience was to experience falling out. If you could just fall out under the power of God. I saw people fall out like cordwood, and I was one of them. But when you get up, there's a walk. Amen? Does it? I kind of agree with some of our denominational brothers on this. Don't care how high you jump, as long as you walk straight when you hit the ground. Can you say amen? So go ahead and jump high as you want, but we're waiting till you come down and you have to walk it out. And God wants us to walk it out. I will bless the Lord at all times means walking it out. His praise will be a constant. Why? Because the cross is a constant. Hallelujah. There was a song to stimulate that. It said, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me constantly where you took me from and where I might have been. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to escape the terrors of hell. What anybody does to me cannot and should not, and if I keep my focus, will not, amen, be more influential in my life than what Christ has done for me. I want you to say it with me. What anyone does to me should not be compared to what Christ has done for me. You see, you know what that attitude, if it's kept and that focus kept, it will cause you to be rejoice in spite of your enemies. It'll cause you to rejoice in spite of the days. Listen, you can rejoice in your salvation and the Savior who saved you. Amen. Even with a broken heart because someone has hurt you. You're human. You cannot escape a broken heart. But you can still have a thankful heart. Amen. Broken heart. A brokenness shouldn't take away a thankfulness. It shouldn't cancel thankfulness. The only thing that cancels thankfulness is when we're all wrapped up in ourselves at the expense of his goodness and his grace. When all I think about is my pain instead of my Savior, my broken heart instead of his broken body, That's why he said, if you want to keep the focus in a fallen world with many enemies, amen, in a faulty body where you're going to feel the pain of many, many things in your lifetime, as often as you do this, as often as you break that bread or you focus on his suffering death on the cross, can you say amen? This is symbolic of something we should focus on every day, not once a month. Amen. As often as you do this, think of me broken and bleeding on the cross. Do it in remembrance of me. In that condition, showing that kind of love for you. Lest what? Lest you be weary and faint in your own mind. Consider him that suffered such a great, that means consider him suffering, dying on the cross, that great contradictions of sinners against himself. Lest what? Lest you lose focus on that, get it on you, your hurt, your pain, your brokenness. Amen. I have to fight this battle. My flesh wants to just get a case of the poor old me's at the expense of praising him and my gratitude. I don't want it to happen this year. Amen. I didn't make a resolution because it's the first of the year. I just want this to be different. I've seen it in the Word of God. They ran to the temple with this thank offering. They said, this is not required. This is not mandated. But it is expected of the Lord, isn't it? And it is the right thing to do. And everywhere we order our conversation aright in this matter of thankfulness, the Bible said, amen, if we would order our conversation aright in Psalm 50, we would see what? The salvation of God. God will come through. God will deliver. God will set free. God will work it out. God will show up. God will manifest himself. Can you say amen? Whoso offers praise out of this greatly grateful heart, amen, not just praise as lip service, but coming from a heart that is filled with gratitude and it bubbles up into praise. Can you say amen? Whoso offers praise glorifies me, and whoever orders his conversation, I will bless the Lord at all times. Whoever orders his conversation aright, the requisite response to God's goodness and mercy, to him I will show the salvation of my God. Can you say amen? He's going to see God move. He's going to see a breakthrough. He's going to see the devil defeated and Jesus exalted. Hallelujah. Wonderful thing about this offering, you could bring it anytime. You could bring it as frequently as you want to. Amen. That once a Sunday communion is just to remind us that throughout the entire week, or once a month, it's to remind us that throughout the entire week, we're to stay focused on Jesus dying for us on the cross. And loving back enough to offer the thank offering of our own life. Our body, a living sacrifice. I beseech you by the mercies of God. Has God forgiven you? What does he require in the Old Testament? He doesn't really require. What does he expect? And what did they give him? They give him thanks. They brought a peace offering. This is not to make peace with God. This is because I have peace with God. And I'm so grateful for it. I'm bringing this offering. What's peace with God worth? What's escaping hell forever worth? What's having heaven as your home forever worth? What is the blood of Jesus worth? Amen. And the suffering and the pain and the anguish that it cost him to shed that blood. His was not a quick death. Amen. They talk about certain modes of death being inhumane. The most inhumane punishment ever levied upon a man was placed upon Jesus in his torture and his crucifixion. Amen. He was marred. His visage, spiritually and physically, not in the sense of divine attributes. I'm not talking about that. But he went through a real valley of hurt and pain before they ever hit him, before they ever beat him, before they ever pressed the crown of thorns upon his head, before they ever put a nail through his hands and feet. They were all, he was, the Bible said he was sorrowful as he prayed in the garden. He knew what was coming. Now us, all we see is the physical pain. That's not what he despised the most about what was about to happen. Can you say amen? The Bible said for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Amen, the shame. And this Holy One, this was not like any other man. We've all dabbled with sin. We've all been tarnished and tainted by it. But not this man. This man never tasted sin, never did sin all the way to the end. That's why he wasn't punished as a sinner in hell. Amen. When I hear that doctrine, I say, why don't we just stop at Calvary? Why do we have to add something to Calvary? If a man can't pay, amen, a sin sacrifice with 1 billion years of punishment in hell, he can't pay his sin debt. Jesus sure can't pay it in 3 days. Amen. It took blood in the Old Testament, and the blood did it. You ask David, how did you get forgiveness? He took a sin offering. Can you say amen? Something was slain and blood was spilled and blood was sprinkled on a mercy seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Christ, our Passover, amen, is sacrificed for us. There was one element that God was looking for to give his grace and forgiveness. When I see the suffering of Jesus and down in hell, tormented by demons. No! When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Jesus said it was enough at Calvary. He said, Tetelestai! Tetelestai, just before he breathed his last breath, he shouted from the cross, Tetelestai, which means paid in full. Honey, don't you stamp my mortgage paid in full and bill me for a payment. Because I'm going to take that Tetelestai down there and lay it in front of you. Amen. And say, I don't owe you nothing. Amen. If I hadn't paid it off, you shouldn't have stamped it with your stamp. But you're going to stamp this on it. You ain't getting nothing more out of me because I don't owe anything else because this debt's been paid up. You can bill me all you want to, but I'm not sending you nothing because I don't owe you nothing no more. Can you say amen? It's a done deal. I'm telling you what Jesus did on that cross. He said, it's done. And I guess we think we're being super spiritual, coming up with something else he needed to do. Sins were not forgiven just because he suffered alone, but because he shed his blood. He shed every drop of it. And they overcame him, the accuser of the brethren, that had every kind of indictment against us and all kinds of evidence to back it up. And we could not stand in God's court and look at the accuser, amen, and say we didn't commit any sin. But we can plead the blood of Jesus. Now is the accuser of the brethren cast down that accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and the thank offering. And the thank offering. Oh, don't say that. It says they love not their life unto the death. Like I said, the thank offering. Amen. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you offer your body a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. 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 The Christians and churches all over America that are not giving him a thank offering. They're not surrendering, amen, to his will. They're not laying on the altar before God. When I got saved, the second stage was to lay my life on an altar. Amen. I used to stretch out before him. Every service, amen. You'd find me, so I'd go to kneel and I'd feel the presence of God so mighty, I would get prostrate before him. I'd lay with my nose in the carpet. We did that. It was commonplace at our church. I went and visited another church. They claimed a revival. So I thought, dear Lord, they're in a revival. And they made an altar call. I was as saved as I could be. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I loved God with all my heart. But I hit the altar and I didn't hit it to get saved. I hit it to do what I usually did, get before God. Amen. Just once again present my body a living sacrifice, my life on the line for him. I got down, put my nose in the carpet. I just got going good when I realized that the silence was so loud it stopped me from praying. There was a dead silence. And I thought, where was, you know, because everybody come to the altar and boom, they were back in the seat. And I realized that I was interrupting the service. Everybody's waiting on me to get done. And that pretty much finished me up right then and there. Can you say amen? They wasn't used to that kind of thing, getting down and getting prostrate before God. I remember this young man right here. Amen. I remember him. He'd be sitting there back by his grandmama. And I would look back and be preaching, and he'd be gone. And I thought, did he run out the door? What happened? He wasn't out the door. You know where he was? He was on the floor between the pews. And when he got off that floor, amen, there was puddles of tear water, amen, where he had wept before the Lord down on that floor. Listen, God brought this young man a long way. If you just read a little bit, I didn't know his life story until he began to let us share some of his testimony. Amen, this guy ought to be messed up for the rest of his life. He ought to be on Dr. Phil's at least twice a month. Can you say amen? Amen. And Oprah, when he wasn't on Dr. Phil, amen, listen to me. He has every reason to be psychologically damaged, sociologically impaired. Amen. Listen, God has done a work in this man, but he didn't do it as he got tapes of somebody's 15 steps on how to succeed in life. He got it down between, amen, the benches, laying before God, doing what? Offering a thank offering. Amen. His body, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before the Lord, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. The thing that intrigued me when I studied the thank offering in the Old Testament, the peace offering, there was no limit to its frequency. Every time you felt grateful, you just run up to the temple and said, I want to give something to God. And you say amen. And the priest said, I'll accept it every time you bring it. If you bring it with a heart filled with gratitude, God's always glad to receive that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When praise is not just high-octane emotionalism, when it really is emotion that is produced and generated by gratefulness in the heart for all that God has done. David dances before the Lord. He embarrasses everybody but God. God is well pleased. Because he knew gratefulness was producing that, not just emotionalism. He wasn't dancing for David's benefit of getting a blessing. He was dancing for the joy of gratitude. Lord, look what you have done. Forgave all my diseases. Forgives all my iniquities. Heals all my diseases. Satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. And he delivers my soul from destruction. What shall I render to God? Hallelujah. For all his benefits toward me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name and forget not his benefits. The day we forget those benefits, the day that we don't render praises from a greatly grateful heart, we don't bring the thank offering. And the epitome of the thank offering is offering our body a living sacrifice, not just getting excited on Sunday. Amen. Amen. Do you see the thank offering? I beseech you by the mercies of God. That's what produced it in the old economy, the old covenant. God forgave my sins. I took a sacrifice with a repentant heart. God accepted the sacrifice. My sin has been forgiven. I will not be judged. I can still expect to be blessed. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful to God for that. So the New Testament says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. God forgave our sin. Amen. And we got a greater reason than David had. Amen. Because the reason he forgave ours in the new covenant is because Jesus came. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus took our place. Jesus suffered. Jesus bled. Jesus died. Oh, Father, help me cultivate a greatly grateful heart. Now let me hurry with this message. Are you in this message with me? This is good. Everywhere I turn, that thankfulness jumps out. The premium God puts on it jumps out. I found out that the wickedness that's in the world, most of it, if not all of it, is based on ungratefulness. When they knew God, they would not worship him as God, but worshiped and served creature more than creator. Neither were they thankful. God has an expectation, rightfully so. Amen. By the way, the thank offering wasn't commanded. It has to be, for it to be qualified before God, it has to come from a greatly grateful heart. If you just do it because it's commanded, he don't accept it. It has to come from someone that's actually cultivated a greatly grateful heart. Can you say amen? That's what made it unique. I began to examine. I said, dear Lord, there's no command to bring this offering like there is. If you sin, you better get that sin offering down there. It's a commandment. But the thank offering's got to be free will. God said, it's no good unless it comes from the heart. How many know sinners afraid for their more worried about their skins than their sins? Can you say, man, we'll go down and pray some alligator tears at an altar. But when you offer your body a living sacrifice, you don't just pray off conviction. You give your life to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just read this just for the point of reference, and we'll get ready to close in a few moments tonight. Let me just read a couple of things. Leviticus 19, verse 5. I just want to read it. Then it tells about once you offer it, what's to be done with it. But the offering of it is completely open-ended. It says in Leviticus 19 and 5, and if you offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, you shall offer it at your own will. Is that what it reads? You got to do that. See, now, people give me things. I was so excited over the things, I forgot to say thanks. And my mom said, what do you say? I didn't do that of my own will. I wasn't mature enough to appreciate yet. I just had what I wanted. Amen? Amen? We've got a whole generation of kids today that think they're entitled. They're not thankful for what they have. They're pouting over what they think they need, that nobody's given them yet. Should have grew up where I grew up. Amen? Hey, you got a porcelain bathroom fixtures? Be grateful. We had a two-seater out back, and I thought we were blessed because it had two seats. I thought we had the Cadillac of outhouses. I'd never seen one with two seats. So if you had an emergency, there was room for one more. However, I never saw that happen. Some things, you know, prayer clause is private, and other things should be private as well. Amen? I mean, that's the way I grew up. When we got, I lived in a Jim Walter home that never got finished on the inside before my mom and dad divorced. If you had a lot, Jim Walter would build you a home on the lot. The lot would stand good for the down payment. We had a little Jim Walter home, never got the wall boarding up. We had quilts hung. A quilt was my bedroom door, was a quilt. And you know what my morning chore was, part of it? There were two, what we call them, slop jars. And we didn't own any hogs. Amen? But a night like tonight, you're not going out to that outhouse in the dead of night. But there's a porcelain thingy with a lid on it. It wasn't the pretty ones either. You've seen the pretty ones that you buy in these antique stores? This is just a porcelain, white porcelain thing with a lid on it and a handle on it. And they called it, a chamber pot. No, we had no chamber and no pretty pot like that either. Amen. This was a slop jar. Amen. And I think slop jars fits it just like it really is. My job in the morning was to take two of them. Amen. Mine and mom and dad's. Off I go to the outhouse. And I dump them, rinse it out with the hose, put the lid back on. We're good to go. Ah, it's so good. What a blessing. I grew up, amen, I grew up that, what a blessing. Yeah, if you can thank God in times like that, no wonder I can thank Him now. Amen. We got one, I changed out while Pamela was on her trip, I changed out our porcelain one. We got one of those that uses just a little bit of water. Oh, it's so fine. Amen. We stood and looked at it. It's so wonderful. Amen. Amen. It's one of those high boys, you know, that you're not all, well, I don't want to illustrate too much. You know what I mean, Jimmy would be comfortable. You know what I'm saying? That's all I got to say about that. Amen. His knees got to come all the way up to his head. But anyway, they got them now that's 16 inches and a half tall. Amen. And it's much more comfortable. And I'm grateful. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we're into the real spirit of everything. You know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you, amen, that you may think you need something. Amen. You may not need what you think you need. Amen. You need to give God thanks. You need need a heart of gratitude. You need to be greatly grateful tonight. Can you say, man, God has blessed us abundantly. But if I still lived in the Jim Walter home, and we still carried out the slop jar, and we still had the house behind the house, my sins have been forgiven. Can you say, man? Listen, the guy that just got a brand new Mercedes to put in his 4-car garage, amen, that guy is rejoicing over a piece of metal, a hunk of metal. He's going to pass away and the car is going to rust out one of these days. Amen. But what Jesus has given us at the cross is a constant. It is forever. Can you say amen? Do you hear me tonight? Praise God. And when the church gets excited about what he's done, you say, but I know all of that. Well, if you know it, what are you supposed to do about it? Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is the requisite service for what he's done for you. Hallelujah! And you do it willingly. You do it willingly. It's got to be willing. Praise the Lord. Let me read again from Leviticus. Let's just go to 7. And verse 11. Leviticus 7:11 says, peace offerings. This is the thank offering. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with sacrifice of thanksgiving. And then it talks about unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, cakes mingled with oil of fine flour and fried, and we don't have to go into all that right now. The point I'm trying to make is that he's bringing an offering for one reason. He's doing it willingly, as we read in a previous chapter, and he's doing it because he's grateful, because the sin offering has been accepted, and he's so glad he's not going to be judged, but he's going to be blessed because he's achieved forgiveness before God, that he's showing his gratefulness by bringing the thank offering from the heart given to God. The Old Testament covenant is gone, but God's expectation of gratitude for the people that experienced far more grace and mercy than they ever dreamed, because God came to earth. Amen. God came. Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, left the splendor of heaven, came to earth, born in a manger. Amen. At 30 years old, began a public ministry. At 33, was nailed to an old rugged cross after being tortured half to death before it happened. And God says, I really expect some willing gratefulness to be shown constantly, not occasionally. I think one of the problems is we go to services to see what we can get to get a blessing. And make no mistake about it, I love blessings. But my primary reason when I walk through that door is to not to see if I get to run or not, shout or not, sense God or not, but to thank him for the cross. Can you say amen? I don't believe missionaries living overseas get up and have and are facing death and deprivation to take the gospel. I don't believe they get up every morning with a euphoric sense of God's presence. Many times they have a sense of their need and the dangers around them. What propels them? What drives them? Something is a constant in their life. What is that constant? It's the cross. They offered their body a living sacrifice. They said, where you send me, I'll go. Praise God. If it takes my life, listen to the thank offering. Listen to the thank offering in Revelation chapter 12. Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Tetelestai, it is finished. And the word of their testimony. Can you say amen? And listen, thank offering. Here it comes. Are you ready for it? And they, this is how crucial victory over Satan is. The thank offering. The thank offering is here. Amen. And they love not their life unto the death. Does that represent, amen, offer your body a living sacrifice? Can you say amen? In essence, without even facing a martyr's death, we have died to self to show our love for him who gave himself for us. The message of self-denial in order to take up a cross and joyfully follow Jesus is a lost message. Today, amen, the gospel has something to lavish your flesh with at the expense of your spiritual devotion. And if persecution comes to the church in America in a form that you might lose your job, your freedom, or even your life to follow Jesus, you will watch mega churches become micro churches overnight. Because what is driving them is a promise of something for the flesh. Who wouldn't follow Jesus for a Mercedes? Who wouldn't follow Him for a Bentley? One man said, "I will come and follow you." And Jesus turned around and said, "Really? For real?" He wanted to make sure he had no materialistic designs, that he understood and appreciated the kingdom of God. Because Jesus was all about the kingdom. So you know what he said? The foxes, they got holes. And the birds, they got nests. But the Son of Man don't have a place to lay his head. If you think you're going to get rich and famous by following me, does he make some people? Listen, one guy that got rich, he wasn't seeking riches. He's seeking a way to further the gospel. And when you're selfless like that, God can entrust you with more. And his name is Welch. He's not alive now, but the founder of Welch's grape juice. He and his wife gave themselves to God to go to missions. And they got on the mission field and found that it must not have been God's perfect will. They had the heart to go, but you know how people get, like they just want to do something for God. God opened his heart. His wife got very ill. They had to come back home. And he said, "This obviously isn't the will of God. What can I do to help sponsor the will of God, sponsor those who are called? What can I do to..." Isn't that a beautiful heart? If I can't be the guy, amen, how can I help someone who God has hand on to do it? How can I be a supportive role and fulfill that? He said, "You know, there's a lot of churches that need juice for their communion services, and they don't want to use real alcoholic wine. I'm going to start bottling grape juice for communion services. And it tastes so good." And he's doing it to the glory of God, to sponsor the gospel. People said, "You know, you could bottle that just to drink after the communion, to have it home." And he started the Welch's Grape Juice Company. And he took tens of thousands, if not millions of dollars, and put it into missions to send missionaries. He backed missions because he had a heart for missions. Amen. He didn't get in that for the wealth. Amen. He was ready to leave all of that and go to the mission field. He wasn't in it for the Bentley. He was in it because of the cross. He was stimulated to do everything he did because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Today we're trying to stimulate people with a materialistic message that the only reason they're in it is something to lavish on their flesh, some felt need, some immediate gratification. They're not stimulated by the cross. They're not bringing God a thank offering. I'm telling you, the man that just got the new Bentley, because his stocks doubled, he can't rejoice like I did this morning. Amen. I ran this morning because I couldn't hold it in. I didn't run as fast as I used to, but I ran. Boy, I'd need more room than this. I'm kind of glad God slowed me down. I hit the wall at the Holy Church of God, and they said I took a couple of steps up that wall. But anyway, I was out of it. I didn't know anything about that. I tell you, if you do that, it better be God, or you're going to hurt yourself or somebody. Amen. Listen to me. The joy of the Lord. I've never seen anybody. Of course, I've never been around a BMW dealership. But if you ask any of those salesmen down there, I don't think anybody that just got the keys to a new Beamer took off and run around that lot. But I've seen people do that in church that were driving old Chevrolet. What's up with that? It's because they got their eyes on something entirely different. Can you say amen? Entirely different. If my kingdom's not of this world. Listen to this. Jesus taught us this. If this would be a rule of thumb, we could keep it right. The things that are highly esteemed among men, fallen man, that has no concept or appreciation for the kingdom. The things that are highly esteemed among men, Christ taught, are what? An abomination to God. God says it stinks because it's all to elevate man in the pride that blinds him and keeps him in Satan's prison house. Blinds him to eternal things. Binds him in Satan's prison houses. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God is the gospel that's going to bring Christ back. When this gospel, any gospel, take your pick, the materialistic one, the worldly one, the fleshly one, no. When this gospel of the kingdom is preached into all the world, then shall the end come. I'm glad to be a preacher of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, you say, well, what about our actual needs, our daily needs? Glad you ask. Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Father knows everything you need. And all these things will be added unto you. Amen. Maybe if you have the peace of God in your heart, you can be happy with the car as long as it gets you there. Just maybe. Maybe with the joy of Jesus, you can be happy with your home. How many's home keeps you cool in the summer and warm in the winter? Wave at me. Oh, glory. Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't it great to be cool? And this guy I worked with that just got saved, I talked to you about this morning. He had an old car. It was his work car. And just like most of us have the work vehicle, because the wife has the good one. I always love to see Pamela get another car because I get the hand-me-down. And the hand-me-down's always better than what I have because I'm wearing it out. But anyway, I got my truck now, my little S10. But anyway, he was going down the road, and it's a little Ford. It wasn't the Focus. It's the smallest one they made back then, a little red. I don't know. It was just little. It had a three-cylinder engine. Three, not four. Three. A tiny little thing. Sounded like a sewing machine, you know, and it just, and he just, you know, could hear him, you know, he's got this big tape player in it, amen. And I tell you that it's probably worth more than the car because he got saved and loved worship music, amen. And so, anyway, he said his grandson got in the car with him and had never rode in his work car going anywhere to go get a haircut. And his grandson is 4 or 5 years old. He's sitting there. He says, Grandpa, turn on the air conditioner. It's hot in here. And that car was set so close, he said he just reached over past him and rolled down the window. His grandson looked at him like, unbelievable. I'm in a car without air conditioning. I can't believe my pawpaw drives a car with no air conditioner. America has been so blessed. I remember my dad had a Willys, a 1941 Willys, 42. And I thought it was the grandest thing I'd ever seen because sitting right in the middle of the dashboard, there was a little oscillating fan. It wasn't one of them you stick on in plastic ones. This was a metal flat fan. It come with the car. And you sit right there, and every now and then you'd feel a little bit of a breeze come on. I'd sit right there and feel that little breeze, boy, on my way to the Biff Burger to get me a hamburger with sesame seeds on the buns. Amen. Life is good. Come on, folks. It was good. Life was good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now that I'm saved, I got air conditioning. I got a good heater. Amen. I got it in my home. I got it in my car. We even got it here at church. Amen. I was preaching down in Haiti tonight. We'd be the mercy of the elements. In Jamaica, the mercy of the elements. But here we sit, amen, in an air-conditioned building. And listen, the cross is constant. The cross is day in and day out. No matter what happens, we have a focal point to stimulate a greatly grateful heart if we would just focus on it. Can you say amen? Praise God. And we, because of that, we continually offer ourselves a living sacrifice. In so doing, we are denying that old sinful, selfish part of us. Can you say amen? We're giving way to the selfless part of us that wants to live our life a thanks unto God Almighty for what He's done through Christ for us. Hallelujah. And they love not their life. What stimulates those missionaries? It can't be. Listen, nobody that's into the gospel of all these riches ever leaves those riches to go and sacrifice and tell anybody about Jesus. None of them ever get the call. Go figure. Why not? Because they're not about to leave the good life. Because they're not stimulated by the cross. They're stimulated by the money, the stuff, the prestige, and the power. And they're using that stimulates them to stimulate others. And it's the wrong reason to follow Jesus. There's only one right reason. I beseech you by the mercies of God. Can you say amen? Oh, has God ever blessed you with clothes, with a home, with a car? Yes, He does. And you know, when we praise Him for what we have, then He can bless us and not make us worldly in the process. Amen? If God never gives me, as I said, if I had a bigger home, I would enjoy every inch of it. I live in a 1,250 square feet home. My son lives in a garage converted into an apartment. My dad lives in a back porch converted into an apartment. And my dogs, they live with us in cold weather, so we got a house full. Could I use space? Absolutely. But if I never, this side of heaven, get any more square footage for me to live in, every morning I get up, and I can tell you this about Pamela. Every morning she gets up, we give thanks to God to have a roof over our head. Hallelujah. To have porcelain in our bathroom. Hallelujah. And most of all, to have our sins forgiven. Wherever we live, Jesus has forgiven us. It has brought us back from deep discouragements that would have conquered us. But we would come back at the cross and quit looking at ourselves and look up to His bleeding side and His bleeding body and say, Jesus, You've been good to us. What You've done for us is so much better and greater than what anyone has done to us. We will not let what anyone has done to us, amen, transcend what You've done for us. We will not allow that. How selfish it would be for me to sit around and think about what has been done to me and let that stimulate anger and discouragement and hurt, when I could think about what He's done for me and let it stimulate praise and devotion and adoration. Can you say amen? He will prepare me a table in the presence of mine enemies. Praise God. And I found out what gets my enemies goat the greatest is to see me filled with joy and peace and satisfaction and serving God with everything I have and everything I am. It really burns them up. Hallelujah. And I don't want to burn them up. I just don't want to lose the victory. I don't want them to take my victory. Bible said in Psalm 52, pay thy vows to the Lord. And Leviticus talks about the thank offering being an expression of fulfilling vows to Him. How many has ever God got out of trouble? You ever made any vows at all? Like, Lord, if You'll just forgive me this, I'll try to live it out right. I'll try to get it right. If You just forgive me this, if You just deliver me from this, Lord, you know, we make some in our hearts, some vows. And God wants them lived out of thanksgiving and gratitude. Everywhere you turn, you're going to find that they love not their life to the death. That's thank offering, praise. That's offering their body a living sacrifice. That's the thank offering. 10 lepers are healed. And here's God's expectation, how seriously He takes it. One comes back to give thanks. Christ says, we're not 10 healed. Where are the other 9? Where are they? On Sunday morning, you know what He's looking for? Where's all the people that the blood of my only begotten has cleansed? Where's their gratitude? Where's their commitment? Where's their devotion? Where's their greatly grateful heart? And we lower the standard to get them in church. These people without a grateful heart, not stimulated by the cross to love God enough to bother dropping by. We have to come up with entertainment for them. Something that makes it such a rush and such an experience. It's kind of like going to a show or movie. Amen. The presentation is so engaging, entertaining, high impact and compact. No challenge is made to take up a cross. No one is taught the value of self-denial to show thanks to God. when they walk out those doors, we don't have disciples of Jesus. Where I worked, we had young men on skateboards. Christian rap going. They got them in the building. Talking about their sexual conquest on the weekends. But they loved the church they went to. Because they never felt convicted of their promiscuity. Because they just had a ball at church. I love church like that. No cross. No conviction. A lot of entertainment. And we think we're winning them. And we're not. I'm not against that. If we could get souls saved, we'll build a skateboard park right here. We already got a DJ. Douglas James. Can you say amen? Amen. But if they come to enjoy the skate park and they never bow to the Lord and Savior, that world will swallow them up in spite of the time they spend listening to the music and playing the games. That world out there will swallow them up and suck them in. There's only one way to overcome Satan. Jesus initiated it. His blood applied the blood of the Lamb. The word of their testimony and the thank offering. Say it with me. And they love not their life even unto the death. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you study your Bible with that in mind, you're going to find it popping up like a pop-up book. I begin to get into that and it begin to pop up, pop up, pop up, pop up, pop up, pop up. Pop up. I'd turn a page and it would pop up. I said, that's thank offering. That's thank offering. That's the thank offering. That's what the church needs. We need to get excited about what Jesus did for us and to give Him thanks by giving our life totally in full surrender to Him. What do you think God could do by the Holy Spirit in churches that were so surrendered to Jesus? Says, you don't have to give me a Bentley for serving you. You don't have to give me a Mercedes for giving to you. Can you say, man, you've given me eternal life and given your body a sacrifice for me. You don't owe me anything, but I owe you everything. Amen. Whatever you do decide to give me, I will be so grateful for it. But my gratitude goes beyond any material thing you can lavish me with. My gratitude is linked directly to the one who died for me on the cross. Somebody give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah. If I can work it out where I can fulfill the invitation, I've been invited to speak at a Baptist church again. And when they let Pentecostals come, it's a miracle. I have a message. It's not a Baptist message. It's not a Pentecostal message. It's something from the heart of God, from God's book, the Bible. And it's for His people. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to see revival in my generation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to close, but are you getting anything out of this thank offering stuff? I'm going to read this again as my brother comes. Biblically, giving thanks is actually a sacrifice offering. In Old Testament days, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies to be in the presence of God so he could make a sin offering for the sins of Israel. When Israel's sins were forgiven, they offered another sacrifice willfully in thanksgiving called the peace offering. How thankful they were. One of the Psalms that reflects that is Psalm 116 and verse 17. It begins reading, to you shall I offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to you, the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you. O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. If nine don't do it, I want to be one of them that does do it in 2010. And I want to keep coming back again and again and again to say thanks. To say thanks. Praise God. And to voice it with not just my praises from my lips, but with a life fully surrendered to Jesus Christ, offering my body a living sacrifice. Can you say amen? That's the greatest thank offering you could possibly give God. It's the only thing that has meaning to Him or to you. Amen. But it has great value to God. If you don't realize it or not, when the Holy Ghost can flow to you and through you, uninhibited by our selfish flesh, there's a mighty revival in store for you and me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Number three, if you will. I just want to worship Him before we leave tonight. Did you get anything out of this teaching, preaching that we did tonight? Praise God. Are you going to go home and thank God for your bathroom? Are you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Of all times, a night like tonight. Lord have mercy. I'm glad I've got indoor plumbing. Aren't you? Something to thank Him for all around us every day of our life. Praise God. Will you stand tonight? Let's worship Him in this life.